So today, Torah and Tea, we're doing the first sedra in the new book of Devarim. This is the fifth book. It's also known as Mishneh Torah, the repetition of the Torah, because this book, in the fifth book, it's sort of a repetition of everything that we studied in the first four books. And this was done before Moshe Rabbeinu's passing. And Moshe Rabbeinu basically wanted to... take this opportunity, sort of the last opportunity before he passes on, to give them encouragement, to give them strength, that they should continue, you know, after 40 years being with Moshe Rabbeinu, and then before that, Moshe Rabbeinu led them out of Egypt. They went through all the experiences, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to review with them and encourage them that after his passing, they should continue to listen to Hashem, to the other leaders. You had Joshua was going to follow, to continue to adhere to the Torah. The verses over here, it says, as Rashi learns it, in the very beginning, the very first verse, Eila hadvarim, these are the words that Diber Moshe, that Moshe speaks to all of Israel on the other side of the Jordan. And then there's sort of a cryptic, there's sort of short one-word reminders about certain things that took place. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to speak about some of the bad experiences they had on the road, in which the Jews complained. They were always, you know, unhappy or challenging Moshe Rabbeinu. So he doesn't go out straight and tell them what they did. He just uses cryptic words like hidden. He says, "Bamidbar, ba'arava, mol suv, ben poron, ben tofel, v'lavan, v'chatzerot, v'dizahab." Rashi already explains each one of the sayings over here exactly what it's referring to. Rashi explains. But then comes the next verse. The next verse tells basically, it says, Achad Osar Yom. Achad Osar Yom means 11 days. It takes 11 days, Mechorev. Chorev was the place where the Jewish people were camped. That's the Sinai. Har Sinai is also known as Chorev. So it takes 11 days from Chorev. And that is Derech Har Seir. Oh, that's the way, the road. If you go through Mount Seir, it takes 11 days to go from Chorev ad Kadesh Barnea. Till Kadesh Barnea. It's an 11-day journey. That is when the Jewish people started their journey. They started the journey. They were camped by Chorev, by Har Sinai, by Mount Sinai. And they started their journey until they came to Kadesh Barnea. How long would it take? 11 days. Okay. What does this mean? There is no follow-up to this. It takes 11 days. So what? And then in verse 3, it starts telling you that it was the 40th year. It was the 11th day, 11th month, which is Shabbat, the 11th month, on Rosh Chodesh. Moshe speaks to all of the Bnei Yisrael as Hashem told him to them. Okay, so what does this mean here? 11 days from Chorev, they go to Kadesh Barnea. What was he trying to tell them with this 11 days? And Rashi basically says that the truth of the matter is, even though it says 11 days, that's the normal way. The normal way, if you looked it up, if you asked ways, how long does it take to get from when you walk? Okay, you know, there's an option. When you drive, you can always ask when you walk. So if you asked ways, how long does it take to get from Chorev to Barnea when you're walking? It would tell you 11 days. But the truth of the matter is, the Jews walked it in 3 days. It didn't take them 11 days. It only took them 3 days to get from Chorev to Kadesh Barnea. Why did they take, how come a road that takes 11 days, they made it in 3 days? So Rashi says, because the Jewish people were going to enter Israel as soon as they left Mount Sinai, they were going to journey to Israel. And that journey to Israel was going to take some time, just the regular time. What happened was, in the meantime, the Jewish people, they started with the spies, they came back with a bad report, they said they don't want to go to Israel, so then they were delayed for 40 years in the desert. So instead of going straight, it's been 40 years. But it wasn't even going to take 11 days, because as Rashi says, it was going to take 3 days. Hashem wanted to bring them very quickly into the land of Israel. So Hashem made that this journey of 11 days that it takes from Chorev to Kadesh Barnea, they went in 3 days. Why did Hashem do that? Because He wanted to bring them to Israel as quickly as possible. So He shortened the way. He got them there real quickly. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was basically telling them, look what you caused because of, again, it's cryptic, it's not very clear. He says, look what you caused because you refused to go to Israel, because you accepted the bad reports of the spies, so you had to spend another 40 years, you had to spend 40 more years in the desert when you could have been there. Look, 3 days you were in Kadesh Barnea, calculate that, you'd see in no time you would be in Israel. But because you followed the spies and you refused to go into Israel, then you had to go all around Har Seir, and it took them 40 years. Now they're in the 40th year. Now they're about to go in. This is the meaning, as Rashi says, from this pasuk. Achad Asar Yom. Yes.
Has the old generation died out, and is he talking to the new generation, or is he still talking to the old generation?
Old generation has all died out. This is a new generation.
Right. So did the new generation believe the report of the spies?
No. What he's just telling them. That's why it took them so long to get to the place where they are.
Because their parents believed it, not them.
Yeah. Actually, Moshe Rabbeinu said that because of their sins of their parents, they're going to have to linger for 40 years. Yeah, it was their...
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so now we find an interesting discussion. And the discussion is in the Talmud, that brings down a discussion over there. There was a sect of Jews, they didn't believe in the... oral Torah. They didn't believe what the sages explained the Torah. They're called the Baisusim, the Sedekites and the Baisusim. I'm not sure the exact English name for them, but they were like two of the students of a rabbi who actually got very upset. The rabbi was teaching, they misunderstood the rabbi's teaching, and because they misunderstood, they actually decided to leave the path of Torah Judaism, and they started their own sect. It's known as Sodik and Baisusim, the Sedekites and the Baisusim. So they would occasionally, the Talmud occasionally brings down the debates that the rabbis debated these Baisusim. So, in one particular instant, the Talmud brings down that one of the sages, his name was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a debate with one of these Bais Susim, and it seems a little bit interesting. Rabbi, this goes through a lot of details over here, but their debate seems to be a very interesting debate, and the Rabbi brings a very interesting insight. So, the Bais Susim argued, they argued like this, and this is a strange question, you know. We're talking about now counting of the Omer. How does the verse state? And the verse states that the day after Shabbos, you count the Omer. How is that understood when we say the day after Shabbos? What does a person first approach be? Somebody told you, after Shabbos, you start counting the 49 days. After Shabbos. What does Shabbos mean? Usfartem, the verse says, Usfartem lachem mimacharat ha-Shabbat. You count from the day after Shabbat. What would be the first thought that comes to mind when we say Shabbat? Shabbat is what we know, the seventh day of the week. Saturday is Shabbat, right? Shvartem lachem mimacharat ha-Shabbat, that you count from the day after Shabbos. If you count 49 days from Sunday, right? What is mimacharat? What's the day after Shabbat? Sunday. What happens if you count 49 days from the day after Shabbos? And then we say the 50th day is Shavuot. Right? So, when will the 50th day be? Okay, again, Memacharat HaShabbat is Sunday. 49 days later is when?
It has to be a Sunday also.
No, the 50th day is Sunday. Correct? Because if Sunday is day one, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat. So that's the seventh day, right? Seven times seven is 49.
Right.
So the 50th day would be what? Sunday. So the Bais Susim, they said, Shavuos is always on Sunday. Because they translated that the Torah says you start counting from Sunday. You count 49 days, which ends on Shabbos. So Sunday is the 50th day. That is Shavuos. Make sense? Following?
Yes.
49 again. If you start counting, see again, the Torah says count from the day after Shabbat. If we assume Shabbat means Saturday, you start counting from the day after Shabbat, that's Sunday. If you start,
is that considered day one?
Sunday's day one. You start counting from Sunday, day one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The seventh day is Shabbos, Sunday, Monday,
right.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Then the second week, the 14th day is Shabbos, right? And so on. The seventh week, the 49th day is Shabbos. And then on the 50th day, which is Sunday, you make Shavuos. So it turns out that you will have a two-day Yontif. Meaning a two-day Yontif. You will have 2 days of celebration, one after the other. You have Shabbos and Sunday. Shabbos is Shabbos and Sunday is Shavuos. Is it clear? I'm just, before I go by there, is it clear? Heidi, does it make sense?
Okay.
You following?
Yeah. Rabbi, I'm trying to figure out, if Sunday is day one, it goes to day seven, that's 1 week.
Yeah.
And day eight goes to day 15.
Here.
Then 16 to 23. 24 to 31.
Are you able to see? Are you able to see my screen?
No, I'm on the telephone. 32.
No, but are you? Are the other ones? Can you see my screen, Esther? Are you able to see my screen? So if you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's day 1, right? Week 1.
Yes.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Week 1, right? The 50th day is going to be that day that you started to count. No? 7?
Then you go 8 to 15.
8 to 14.
Week.
Why 15 to 14? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 is the end of the 7th week, 2nd week.
Right, that's where I made my mistake. Okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
13, 14. The next week will be 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20,
yeah.
21. 7 times 3?
6, 37 is 21.
So that's the 7th day. 15 is Sunday, 16 is Monday, 17 is Tuesday, 18th is Wednesday, 19th is Thursday, 20th is Friday, and the 21st day is Shabbos. 21.
So the day after. Yeah.
The day after, then you go back, it makes the first circle. 1 week is 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
You finish the week. So if we have 7 weeks, we finish 7 weeks, the 50th day is what? Is again that same day you started with. It's Sunday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, so the point here is, so what was the Baisusi arguing to the rabbi, to Rabbi Yecha ben Zakkai? He said like this, look. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews. So he says, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu made sure that Shabbos will always be before Shavuos, so that the Yidden will have a 2-day celebration. And that's why, when do we start counting? We start counting from Sunday every year. That was an interpretation which the Baisusi interpreted. But the rabbis interpreted different. The rabbis interpreted that Shabbos, in this context, means Pesach. They don't say you don't start counting from Sunday, you start counting from the day after Pesach. Pesach can be any day of the week. Whenever Pesach falls, you start counting not from Shabbos Saturday, but Shabbos in this context is called Pesach. That's what we do today. Shavuos doesn't always come on Sunday. Shavuos comes out whatever. Shavuos comes out every time on the same day that the next day of Pesach. If Pesach comes out, let's say, on Tuesday, we know for sure that Shavuos will be on Wednesday. Shavuos is always one day in the week after Pesach. How do you know that? Very simple. Because you start counting, if Pesach was on Tuesday, we started counting 7 weeks from Wednesday. The 50th day, if you count 7 days, the 50th day is going to be Wednesday. Because you did 7 cycles, and then it's going to be Wednesday. So to us, the way we learn, the way the rabbis learn, Shavuos can come out any day. It's going to be one day after Pesach, whether it is Monday, Tuesday, doesn't matter. It's always going to be, you start counting from the day after Pesach, and that's when Shavuos is going to be. Because 50 days is when the 7 days, that's the day that Pesach is going to, Shavuos is going to be. But according to the Baisusim, they said no. They said Shavuos is always going to be on Sunday. Because we always start counting from Sunday. So the 50th day, Shavuos only Sunday. But the logic that he told to Moshe Rabbeinu, but with the logic that he used is, he says, because that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it. So that the Jewish people can celebrate Shavuos 2 days in a row. They have Shabbos and then Shavuos. Unlike the rabbis, Shavuos is just 1 day. Now, of course, you know, we do a second day in Chutz Laaretz. That's a separate thing because we don't, because of Sveika de Yoima, or we don't make a distinction between the holidays. That's a different topic. But we're talking about strictly from the Torah. By us, Shavuos is 1 day. They said Moshe Rabbeinu loves the Jews. And because he loves the Jews, who argued that Moshe Rabbeinu loves the Jews? The Baisusim. So what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answer him? He says, look, if Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews, how come he kept them in the Midbar for 40 years? It almost seems like the rabbi was saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the rabbi was saying to the Baisusi, your argument is that it has to mean Sunday because Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews. So what is the rabbi telling him? He says, no. If Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews, how come he kept them in the desert for such a long time, for 40 years? If he loved them, he should have taken them right away. Very strange argument. So what? While the Baisusi, the one who doesn't believe in the Torah, he says Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews. That's why he made it Shavuos after Shabbos, so they have 2 days. And the rabbi is saying, no. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't love the Jews. It seems like it. Why? Because he said if he loved the Jews, how come he delayed them for so long? So, just to give out the point that the Rebbe tries to make over here, just to bring out the point. You know, the expression of love comes in different forms. Sometimes you think when you love someone that you're just going to hand them. You're going to hand them whatever they want because you love them. So you're going to gift them anything. So let's say your child wants something. You just give it to them. You don't make them work for it. You don't make them earn it. They don't have to really do anything. They just ask for it, and you give it to them. That's one way of showing love. You know, Jewish mothers, they want to feed their children all the time, and they want to give them all the time. That's one expression of love. Another expression of love is that you provide your child with the tools and the means that they can work hard and earn, and then they get to work for it, appreciate it, and they get the satisfaction knowing they weren't just handed some free, as the Zohar calls it, shameful bread, which means things that you get for nothing. You just give them to them. This way, you're expressing your love by providing them an opportunity to grow, to really earn, to become mention, to become self-sustaining, that they could sustain themselves. So even if you're not there to give them, they're able to handle it. Shabbos is something that Hashem gave us. Hashem gave us Shabbos. So, according to the Baisusim, they thought Hashem is going to give us the Torah, a gift from above. How do we prepare to get that gift? We should have the Shabbos coming beforehand. A gift from Hashem. Shabbos, everything is given to us from Hashem. We're getting all these gifts. They thought that the love of Moshe Rabbeinu should express in itself in just giving it without having to earn it and work for it. The truth of the matter, why is a person tested? Why does a person go through a journey in which they have challenges, in which they have difficulties? Why does Hashem do that? Hashem doesn't need to test us to find out what we're going to do. Hashem knows what we're going to do anyways before He tests us. Hashem tests us. He wants us to discover inner strength. He wants us to discover deeper powers that we have in ourselves. We may not even know. And when Hashem gives us a test, it's not for Hashem to know. It's for us to find out, for us to reach a higher level and a deeper level, and then for us to help us once we discover that deeper part of ourselves, then we can utilize it in all of our lives. If you go through sometimes a hardship, that hardship gives you later on strength to face even more challenges if you are able to overcome the test. When we journey in the exile, when the Jewish people were in the exile for 40 years, that prepared them. That 40 years in the desert prepared them with all the difficulties that they had over there to the life, some of them, the children at least, the others didn't make it. But the tests that they were put through and the difficulty that was put through is just made them stronger. It's like lifting weights. The heavier the weights you lift, the stronger you get. The harder it is to push, the more koyach, the more strength you have. You gain confidence, you gain courage, you gain strength when you have to work for it. So Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, but Moshe Rabbeinu loved them in a true love, not in a way just for them to, from the perspective of above, Hashem can take them and bring them into Eretz Yisrael and just land them over there. But the Yidden would not have learned anything. They would not have achieved all this lessons that they went through for the 40 years. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't say he didn't love them. Of course he loved them. But his love expressed himself not by spoiling them. Love did not express by a mother spoiling the children and just giving them whatever they ask for, but the love expressed by teaching them, by helping them mature, helping them find themselves, find their strength. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't rush them into Eretz Yisrael just to land there and that's it, but rather to go through step by step, work it out. It's like the oral Torah, that when we study the oral Torah, which what we believe in, which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you have to work hard in order to understand it, to grasp it, to figure it out. The written Torah, it states, there's no work put in by the person, no effort by the person. It just accepts it. And this is the difference between the expression of Moshe Rabbeinu's love, which in essence is actually a greater love than the Baisusim. And there's a lot more about it, but I want to bring out one point. I want to bring out one more point in the second Sicha. We mentioned before, the Talmud gives you a statement that says that the first four books were said by Hashem himself, but the book of Devarim was said by Moshe. Doesn't mean that Moshe decided what to say. He just came up with his own mind what to say. God forbid. But it's on a different level than the rest of the Torah. The Rebbe explains it that the Torah comes from a very high place. It's the wisdom, it's the will of the infinite, of Hashem. The Torah comes down into the very simple, mundane, into the people. How do you connect that high spiritual level of Torah? How do you connect it to the simple, mundane, to the people? How do you make that connection? It seems to be so far apart. You need an intermediary. You need a Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the intermediary because an intermediary has some of the higher level and some of the lower level. On one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the highest level because he had no self-interest. He was totally self-effaced. He had no, he said, Nachnumo. He had no agenda, no self-interest. He was totally subjugated to Hashem, on one hand. So he was very much connected to Hashem on a very powerful level. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu was physically the wholesomest of the physical people. He was very tall. It says he was 10 amos. He was strong. He was beautiful. He was the wholesome of physicality. He was the wholesome of spirituality, the self-negation of not entity by himself. Plus, he was the greatest physical wholesomeness that one can imagine. So Moshe Rabbeinu, being on one hand this most spiritual person, and on the other hand being the most physical, greatest person, he was the proper intermediary to bring the Torah from Hashem and bring it to the Jewish people. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is always telling us what the Torah says. But when you use an intermediary, it can happen in two ways. One of them, that the intermediary, it doesn't stop. Say you have an elevator going from the 100th floor, going down to the bottom. Some elevators go in one shot. They go from the 100th floor right to the first floor. So they went through the 99th floor, the 98th floor, the 97th, 96th, but they didn't stop. They just went through. So these floors were just, they were intermediary. You can't go from the 100th floor to the first floor. You got to go through all the middle floors. So they went through, but they didn't stop over there. And they didn't absorb anything. Nothing changed. They just went through. That's one way. Moshe Rabbeinu, on one hand, just passed along the Torah, which was high up. It just went through to him, and it came down to the Jewish people. Another way of an intermediary is that the intermediary understands and receives adds his own piece to it, and then goes down. So that would be like stopping at every floor and absorbing the good scent that the floor brings to you, and then going to the next floor. That means the intermediary, the middle ones, added and changed it. Most of the Torah, the first four books, were like Moshe Rabbeinu was given, came from Hashem, came to the Jewish people. Moshe didn't change, he was just the intermediary. He took it from one place and brought it to the other place. It went through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why we say over there, the first four books, it was said by Hashem. It didn't really change by Moshe Rabbeinu. But when it comes to the book of Devarim, over there, the giving to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu absorbed it. It changed by Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it's called, he said it by himself. Because all these great ideas that Hashem presented from the Torah came through Moshe Rabbeinu. It was important to have one part of Torah which really goes down through the intermediary and makes it more accessible, so that when we learn Torah, we actually are able to see the Torah's Hashem, God's Torah, in ourselves. And that's why this book of Devarim, it's not only Devarim, but this sort of gives also all the other higher books that Hashem is on a, it only goes through, that they too become sort of understood and absorbed by all that learned that. That's why it was necessary then. And this fits in a little bit with the idea we said before. We want to things to become part and parcel of ourselves, of our lives. And therefore, it's not, as we said before, shameful bread. It's things that we earn, that we work hard, makes us better people, makes us stronger, because it's something that comes down to ourselves. I'll keep it a little bit shorter today.